Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, hello, everybody. We welcome you back to Close to have you with us. Well, we're excited because we're welcoming Teresa Pettigo back with us. She was here a week or so ago in a conversation with Jim Masters, which was really kind of the founder of Teresa Pettigo Associates Incorporated, headquartered in St. Louis. She is a top-notch, highly regarded business consultant and coach. And what is, and it's an amazing one that you would not think off the top of your head it would be necessary, but her goal is helping business owners understand financial statements in order to make the very best decisions they can for their business. I mean, you would think a business owner could understand and would know, most importantly, business statements that come to how important they are and what they mean, but apparently that is not the case. And we learned a little bit about that in our conversation with Teresa, you know, as I said, a week or so ago. But now we're going to dig deeper into this to find out really why it is so important for business owners to know the numbers. That's really what comes down to. Know your financial numbers regardless of the size of your business. It doesn't matter if you're General Motors or you're George Kirby and a certain, you know, on in downtown Podunk, Iowa, or wherever. You have to know the numbers, or you're not going to make it. So anyway, I don't have a lot of introduction necessary here because Teresa's been with us before, so I'm going to welcome her back on the line with us today and just say good afternoon, Teresa. Welcome. Nice to have you back. How you doing? How you been?
I'm doing well today. How about you?
Doing good. To have you back again to learn about. And I know there are other business owners we've had who haven't heard this show. They didn't hear your previous show. So it's really important for them to understand a little bit about you and your background and why you're so insistent on the importance of their knowing their numbers. Very briefly, I mean, you have an amazing background, but very briefly, go through it with me. What brought you up to this point in your career? You've been you know, heavily involved in the corporate arena for a long time. Tell me about it.
Yes. Yeah, 23 years in the financial services industry, doing everything from being a bank examiner to banks, to an auto leasing company, to a mortgage company, to a very large consulting company that worked with banks. So through all that, there was a lot of finance backing. There was a lot of operational and process things, you know, that I learned along the way that have been very valuable, that just not just my finance degree, but going through that and having those opportunities to now work with business owners and share what I've learned.
And I guess during all this period of experience you had, you encountered a lot of business owners who obviously did not know their numbers or what their numbers meant. Is that right? And that's what clued you into doing this?
That is right, because part of what I did, internal audit and loan review, was we would, you know, look over the numbers and things that were submitted. And, yes, when we were talking with the bankers, sometimes, you know, we had to educate the bankers a little bit. But, yeah, the individuals that were submitting, they really didn't know what was going in or really didn't know how to prepare the best thing, I will say, as well, to go in to be evaluated to get the loan that they wanted.
Well, in general, most businesses have an accountant or a firm that does much of their business accounting. The bigger ones do. Smaller ones, obviously, there's QuickBooks and things like that. But basically, if you have the accountant, sends you a form and with all the numbers written out and says, sign here, and you do that and figure it's okay. Isn't that the way it's done for the most part?
That's right, without asking any questions. And that's where it gets in trouble from the small business owner who used the CPA to set up their chart of accounts, all the way up, like you're saying, to a larger business. I'll compare it to the banks that I was in. The larger they got, yes, you have a CFO, or, you know, smaller, yes, you have it outsourced to an accounting firm. But the accounting firm, we got to think a lot of times they're just setting up your statements the best way for them to do your taxes in a lot of cases. I mean, don't want to bash. I love my CPAs, but they've got a different viewpoint. And so what they've set up or what they're presenting may not be the best for that business owner to really understand the fundamentals of their business.
You know, you just referred to a CFO for a corporation, a company. You would assume the CFO does know the importance of the numbers, don't they, for the most part?
They do, but I think what happens, again, I'll go back to some of my history. The CFO presents it, and they may talk a little bit about it, but your board of directors, sometimes you know your president, your CEO, mm-hmm. they don't understand maybe what they're hearing. They don't understand what they're looking at to ask some of the questions of the CFO. So they are operating a lot of times just on what the CFO is telling them. And, you know, that can lead to problems because if you have a CFO that, you know, maybe isn't that good or maybe wants to lean a certain way to make things look better, they can because the other people sitting around that table may not know better.
Interesting. So, and then for the smaller company, you know, the individuals, you know, they have 3 or 4 employees, maybe 10 employees, 50 or under,
yeah.
and they're working with business software. I mentioned QuickBooks, that's just one. There are others out there.
Right.
And they're trusting that is that software is working properly for them. But still,
right.
Well, I don't know. I just said that off the top of my head. You would assume it's wrong. Okay. Am I wrong there?
No, you're right. They're trusting, again, what I talked about a little bit last week and alluded to earlier, the chart of accounts when you open up. I'll just use QuickBooks because that's what my clients use the most. You pick an industry or what you do, and it generates the chart of accounts for you. Or they've had the CPA set up their chart of accounts. But they might not know what each one of those line items, you know, accounts are and what numbers feed to them. So that gets to be the tricky part if you ask, hey, there's marketing, per se. There's a you know, a bucket for marketing. What goes in there? I don't know. Maybe they have marketing
wow.
and advertising. What's the difference
yeah.
between marketing and advertising? I don't know. That's just
well,
where the accountant puts it.
That's why they need your help. If that's the case,
right.
they definitely need you.
They
it's
do.
Pretty obvious.
They do. Because I
so
will help them create the chart accounts they understand.
I was just going to ask you, explain to me what your first service is. You're a business coach, and you're a consultant mm-hmm. as well.
That's right.
What's the difference between a coach and a consultant?
Well, I would explain it the easiest this way is a business coach will teach their clients how to fish. It's a transformational process that you work with on the business owner. Business owner still is making all of the decisions, but the coach is there to give them the necessary tools and coach them along and make sure they're accountable for getting things done. When you're a consultant, you are either fishing for the client or with the client. So it's either the client is farming something out, maybe they need a report, maybe they need me to, you know, review their financials for them monthly and report, you know, back to them. Or you might be working together on something to, say, create a job costing model. So that's the coach will teach how to fish. The consultants will fish with or for.
Okay, that's very clear. So let's talk about the things that a business owner, and maybe we should focus this primarily on smaller companies. We're not talking about gigantic corporations with thousands of employees here
right
now. Oh, we could be, but basically for the smaller businessman who needs help but doesn't have someone like you to come in and talk to them, you know, periodically or on a regular basis. By the way, you're based in the St. Louis area. Do you work with clients, you know, in other companies, not companies, but in other cities and states or is it primarily only in the St. Louis area?
Most definitely. I'm in the St. Louis Metro East area, so that's where I can do a lot of the face-to-face appointments. But with the wonders of Zoom and the other ones like that, I can meet virtually with anybody around the world. So I've had clients in several other states.
That's very important. I should point out right now you have a really great website with a lot of different information. It's our team, and it is simply tapedigo.com. Let me spell it. T-A-P-E-D-I-G-O. T-A-P-E-D-I-G-O.com. That's tapedigo.com, and that's where you'll find Teresa and all the background and how to get in touch with her. Let's go down the list of the things that you primarily work with. You come into a client, you've never been with him before, and you help him out, and you say, all right, let's look at your chart of accounts, right? And he doesn't know what it is. That's where you begin. Talk
that's
me through
where
that.
I begin.
Okay.
I'll have them, usually we'll print out, let's say, a profit and loss report. I'll have that in conjunction with having a printout of the chart of accounts. And why I do that is because the profit and loss will have some numbers in it, so that may help them, oh, now I understand what goes in here. So I literally will go down every line and confirm what is in that account. And then I will ask them, would it be helpful if you had this broken down into sub-accounts? I'll give you an example. A contractor that I worked with when I started working with them, they had one account for residential work, one for commercial, and one for other or like emergency work. So that's all they had was those three. But as we were talking through, it would be very beneficial for them to learn how much they were making on kitchens, bathrooms, siding, whole renovations, decks, things like that. So we started breaking down that chart of accounts so then they could easily look and say, hey, you know, we did a lot of kitchens last year, you know, or we didn't finish as many basements last year. And so then that can, you know, prompt discussion and as to why. It could tell you what you might want to market, you know, more on. But that's it. We're making sure that it is broken down enough to give that business owner or owners all the information that they need to make the best decisions for their business. And they can understand it, because I think them not understanding what's in each one of those accounts keeps them from looking at it. And, you know, frankly, if I walked in and just looked at it the way it was, I might not know about the business either to help them.
Yeah, that makes good sense. By the way, as you're talking here, it just dawned on me. Suppose that there's a small company, let's say 10 employees, doesn't even use a program like QuickBooks or something. They're kind of out in the left field if they don't have that, don't they? I mean, they need something like that in this computer age.
They
wouldn't I be
definitely,
right?
Definitely do. I mean, I pretty much push it that if I'm going to work with a client, we're going to have some form of QuickBooks. I've had some very small clients that we did start out with just Excel spreadsheets, but that's too labor intensive and, you know, usually isn't kept up with as you know, the days go by. So it becomes something that you're going backwards to fill in. So it's too late when you find out something, you know, that maybe you need to change, and it's happened already for a couple of months. So I really do, you know, push for some kind of software package, and for most of my small to mid-sized businesses, QuickBooks fits. And I'm not getting paid endorsements from them.
Yeah, no. I understand that. But it's just necessary in this day and age. Things are too complex, and you know, you have to be able to satisfy the IRS. That's the most important thing.
Yeah, you don't want them knocking on your door for sure.
No, you sure don't. That you sure don't. Once you get the chart of accounts set up, then you're able to actually spit out. No, you publish or print a print a financial statement if the information is in there correctly. What financial statements should not just what should they be reviewing? Well, I guess every kind. They should be reviewing their financial statements every month. Isn't that right? And if
that
so, what should
right.
they be looking for?
Well, I say the five financial statements that I always zero in on that every business owner should look at monthly is the balance sheet,
yeah,
the profit and loss statement, or back in the day it was income statement. I don't know wherever it changed along the way to profit and loss statement, the accounts receivable aging, the accounts payable aging, and then the statement of cash flows. So if those are reviewed monthly, that gives you a complete picture and snapshot of where the business is. And the earlier that you can do that in the month, you know, look, I like to look at them the first week of the month because then you can adjust if need be quicker, you know, if you find something that needs to change in the business. Sometimes when you're working with...
The main thing is all the information has to be properly entered into the program. Is it the business owner who's doing that, or is it does he have a you know someone else in the company whose role is to properly enter all the financial figures in the accounting program?
I mean, what you're saying about getting it in right, it is garbage in, garbage out. So it is
right.
You know, most important. It really depends on the size of the business. I have a lot of owners that, you know, do it themselves, or they have hired an accounting firm to do that bookkeeping function.
Right.
Or I've got one client that, you know, has a retired bookkeeper that still likes to, you know, work and do that on the side. So it could be a combination, really, of all the different things of who can be entering the information and then by generating the financial statements for review.
In addition to that, and having an accounting firm, if you do, you point out that it's really kind of why it's important to have a coach or a consultant working with you, because when you come right down to it, it's an investment in your business and yourself, and services of someone like yourself really generates a significant return on that investment. And the bottom line is that there's a lot of truth to that. Am I right?
Oh, there definitely is. I mean, that's what I explain to all the prospects when I'm meeting with them is that, you know, I'll find my fee, you know, for sure. Yes, I'm technically an expense that is deductible on your taxes. But believe me, if we work together and we get things set up properly with the numbers, we can then move forward, you know, to make money, to minimize the expenses along with that. I mean, it's produced some phenomenal results for my clients.
Why is it that most business owners that you've encountered don't seem to be able to really read financial statements accurately, which you would think, you know, that's one of the things that they would have been taught to do, but unfortunately they don't. Why is that?
Well, a lot of business owners, you go into business because of a skill or a trade that you know. I mean, so, you know, you could become a plumber. Well, you didn't have a finance or business course as you remember becoming a plumber. Likewise, lawyers, you know, we can go all the way up to lawyers, probably didn't have that, you know, either. And I think I mentioned in the last show that I had a lawyer that came to me and said, hey, I graduated, I hung my shingle, I hired an assistant, and then I sat there and looked around and said, now what? So it's just not something that has been incorporated, you know, into the training. And, you know, I looked at it when I was, you know, wanting to leave the corporate world and what I was going to do, I thought that I would buy a business. And my father said, well, Teresa, what kind of business do you know that you could run? And I said, I know business. I just need to have the right players in place and like what that business is, and I'll make it successful. Well, it's just kind of funny that it flipped around, and instead of me buying the business and working that myself, I'm now working with the business owner, making it work for them.
That's amazing. That's very true. So the main list here is that you help them, number one, set up the chart of accounts. Then you help them understand the financial statement when you print one out.
Mm-hmm.
And then you do a financial statement analysis with them. And that's really
yes.
the bottom line critical thing. Explain what that involves. What is a financial statement analysis? This is where you tell them if they're making money or not, right? You're being successful.
Exactly. It's a lot of trend analysis, but I'll say the very first thing when we analyze, we go through all of the statements, posting errors will jump out right at you. And, you know, it will even happen to me. I will look at my own and I'll say, oops, that got posted to the wrong chart of accounts. So, you know, that can greatly change what the statements, you know, are saying because of a posting error. So we go down and we look at significant changes from either month to month or year to year. What trends are showing there? What can we learn from those trends? Then we go into calculations. So if most business owners, if they pick up, so if I can get them to pick up that profit and loss, they're usually going to look at top line revenue, so your gross revenue, the net revenue, so your bottom line, the total expenses, maybe the cost of goods sold. That's all they're going to really focus on. But going down and looking at each one and seeing how it's went up or it's went down, and we can explain why, then the next step I'll take them into is doing calculations. Like, what is the gross profit margin? What is the net profit margin? And I have a tool that I can use to access data from other companies or other businesses just like theirs that's equal to their size and in the same market area. And I can find out, well, what should a gross profit margin be for a business such as this? So we can have a tool and a number that we know that we should be shooting for. And if we're not, what do we need to adjust, you know, to get there? And as we've set goals, you know, say already with our how much money we want to make for the year, I'll always look at how much we made for the month, the cumulative. So we'll, like, if here we are, can't believe we're coming, you know, to the end of February. When I look at the beginning of March, I'm going to be looking at cumulative data for January and February. And then I'm going to use that to project what's the average that we're making monthly. And with that average, what would it look like at the end of the year? So are we on the right run rate for what the business wants to do? And, you know, some businesses are seasonal or cyclical. So we might, you know, have the beginning of the year, say, you know, for, let's go back to the contractor being outside. If they predominantly do outside work, obviously it's not going to be as much in those first couple of months, but it will be heavy during the better weather. So we analyze that. I go into the balance sheet and look at what's the working capital and what is the current ratio, which takes your current assets over your current liabilities. And that's a big thing that the banks will watch for, because it's giving you liquidity. It's telling you what your liquidity position is in your business. So those are,
you know,
some of the things.
Those are all such critical, critical issues. And obviously, you know, the benefit of having someone like you help the owner or, you know, the chief CFO or whatever, it would be critical important. I can see where your assistance is just, you know, it's blessed. It's just so great to have. In your firm, I'm impressed by the various services you offer. In addition to these financial services, you mm-hmm. help owners understand, and you consult with them on business expansion consulting. Obviously, you know their financial numbers. They may be wanting to expand and maybe open different offices elsewhere. You're in a position to talk to them as to how financially they are to do that. Mm-hmm. Your other services include price and product service comparison consulting. That's really interesting. That's where you let them know if their prices are in the right range, that they're not overcharging, you know, what their competitors are. That's what it comes down to, isn't it?
Exactly. And a lot of times, you know, they'll think, oh, no, I'm priced, you know, as high as I can be priced. I'll take myself out of the market. You know, and it's like, no, if you have some work done and I, you know, it's kind of mystery shopping for me, and I really enjoy it to go out and find, you know, what other people are charging and what is included, say, in that service or product that they're delivering.
Yeah, I can see where that's very important. Your other services, including, as you point out, a company's employees are their most valuable asset. And your goal in that role is to help them build the ultimate team. You help them recognize the potential that they have in-house and where they need help in other areas, right? It's leadership development.
It is a lot of leadership development because, again, they didn't know how to deal with employees. And if I talk to business owners and say, you know, what's the top two things that, you know, give you the most pain, it's going to be cash flow and the employees in either order. And so working with them to, you know, help them better communicate, and a big thing there is I am DISC certified to offer DISC workshops, which will, you know, they take an assessment, and it will help everybody learn their workplace behaviors and tendencies so they understand each other better and can communicate more effectively and work more as a team. And it greatly helps the business owner or the other supervisors in the company know how to motivate and get the most out of the people working for them.
That's amazing. Your write-up on that on your website says you help identify behavioral styles and personality traits that can give the owner a better understanding of the dynamics of their teams. That's pretty. How do you go about doing that? You interview all of the employees, I guess, and talk to them in depth, right? Learn how they're functioning there.
Exactly. Learning about that, and then I said a lot of it comes from, you know, the DISC assessment, because when you have like a. I'll give you an example of an insurance agent that I worked with, and she would go out to say, here's our goals, you know, for the next month. And she would be, you know, all enthusiastic and excited and telling them what, you know, their bonuses would be. And they're just kind of sitting there looking at her. And, you know, she'd come back kind of frustrated, like, why don't they get it? Why aren't they more excited? It's a whole different type of behavior. They're not the same style in the DISC world. So by her going out and doing that, that is not what's motivating them. So she has to redirect and say, this is what I do to motivate them, and this is what I do to reduce the stress. So just understanding those styles makes
your services
effective.
You know, your services are so great and so complete. It's very impressive what you do for your clients, Teresa. We've been chatting. We've run through the half hour, Teresa. We've been talking with Teresa Pettigo. She's the founder of TA Pettigo and Associates. They're based in St. Louis, but she'll work with you and your company wherever you're located. It can be by phone or by Zoom or whatever. And in any event, she has this great website. So if you want more information, go to the website. It's simply TA Pettigo. PEDIGO.com, TAPEDIGO.com, and ask for Teresa. She's a wonderful lady, as you've heard. Teresa, thanks for being
thank
with
you.
Us again. It's been great chatting with you. You are a very accomplished lady, and I know you do great work for the clients that bring you aboard. So thanks for being with us, and good luck, okay?
Thank you so much, Doug. I really appreciate it and enjoyed talking with you.
Me too. I enjoyed talking to you.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television, Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit CloseUpTelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.
That's it for today, everybody. I'm Doug Llewellyn. See you next time. Bye for now.